1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show. There is a gruesome tug of war going on between members of the press and individuals who are responsible for the autopsy photos of beloved race car driver Dale Earnhardt. Dale Earnhardt, who lost his life on the final lap of the Daytona 500. His death sparked grief. It inspired fellow racers and fans to pay homage to him. And now some are concerned the fascination with the NASCAR legend may have gone too far. At the center of the debate is the Orlando Sentinel, which made a request to the Volusia County Medical Examiner's Office to inspect the autopsy photos. We got a call when we were talking about this last week from Robert Green, who worked in special effects makeup for 8 years in Hollywood, both in film and television, for a variety of production teams. He did some special effects makeup on such hit TV shows as Alice, Bob Newhart, and Full House. Bob is on to talk today about special effects makeup, and you waited, Bob, to you wanted to mention the Dale Earnhardt situation, too, because that applies a little bit to what you do?
Phil, that is correct. I did special effects, and I wanted to talk about it because the Volusia County Medical Examiner and the Earnhardt family, I think, is doing a little bit of a disservice to all of us in the film business.
And I didn't know that this had a tie-in to the film business or to television.
Well, if you think about it this way, I made my living day in and day out, and I make my living trying to make interesting and realistic effects. On the Newhart show, if they needed to do a crash victim, we didn't have a model. And so we were always sort of working from scratch, really. What the Dale Earnhardt photos will do is open up the world of special effects makeup.
Well, if I can sort of just extrapolate here, if you don't mind, you want these pictures of Mr. Earnhardt's deceased, the deceased form of Mr. Earnhardt, so you can have more realistic special effects and...
Yeah, so we have photos we have photos of a brand new crash victim, and we can look at it and then do the job. This gives us information and a sense of realism that we didn't have 10 years ago, and it would be unheard of 10 years ago.
Well, you can get all kinds of crash photos. You can go to Faces of Death, go to gruesome.com or whatever the hell that thing is, and find crash victims.
That's a good point, but if I could just jump in.
Go ahead.
Here's the barrier-breaking aspect of this, and something we never really had. We now have autopsy photos of a famous person who's been in an automobile accident. So think about what that means when we go to make up a Brad Pitt, for instance, or a Julia Roberts, or a Robert De Niro, or a Russell Crowe, and we make them up to look like they've been in an automobile accident. How does a famous person look when they've been in an automobile accident? And you could ask yourself that question, Phil, and the answer would be, well, I really don't know. We now know. We have the photos of Dale Earnhardt. And so we can look at what a famous person looks like in a crash and make up. Try making Leonardo DiCaprio look like he died in a high-speed accident while looking at a picture of a John Doe or just a regular person. Special effects artists need to see a famous face to make that famous face look realistic. And now we do know because of these deals. I haven't been working too much lately because I don't have the crash photos. If I had some crash photos of a famous guy, I know I could get back to work. But right now, I just...
You work off of these pictures, I take it.
I work off of anything and everything.
But you say you need to get back to work because you don't have crash photos of famous people.
I'll give you an example. I tried to make up one of the Olsen twins about 2 weeks ago, and she looked like a zombie. You know,
had she been in an accident in the?
No, she just would look like herself. But I'm completely, in other words, Phil, I don't have any bearings as to what a real person looks like as opposed to a. And I would love to have the Princess Diana autopsy photos, but what I'll do now is, and what I'm saying to the Orlando Sentinel. And what I'm saying to the Volusia County Examiner's Office, we'll settle for the Dale Earnhardt photos.
But you'd prefer to have Princess Diana?
I would prefer to, yeah.
And what do you mean you made one of the Olsen twins look like a zombie?
Because I don't have these crash photos and I don't have relationship shots. She was just supposed to look...
So she hadn't been in an accident. She just looked like she was in a scene.
In a scene as a normal person.
And she looked like a zombie.
Yeah. Too much black around the... I got fired from the job. And until I can get some crash photos, I'm not working. This Dale Earnhardt autopsy photo thing is my ticket home. This is my ticket out. And that's all. And I know I speak for a lot of special effects people.
And well, you're in the world of special effects makeup and wanting to see what a face looks like.
A famous face, Phil, and that's the distinction.
All right, want to see what a famous face looks like after there's been an automobile accident so that you can do your job better sounds like quite an imposition on a family that is bereaved and a public that is grieving and a man who is deceased and I'm sure who would like to... would like to keep his dignity, or the family would like to maintain the dignity of that man.
Well, I believe that I speak for the entertainment industry when I say we really would rather, and we would treat it with the utmost respect, but we'd really want, we'd like it if you'd release the Dale Earnhardt autopsy photos so we could at least photocopy them, because I really want to do Days of Thunder 2, and I need the...
Days of Thunder 2.
I'd like to, if that movie is in production, I'd like to be up for the job. And you know there's going to be...
Okay, well, what I'm hearing here, Bob, if you don't mind, is a guy who's pretty much out for his own career, and don't you think you need to be a little bit mindful of...
Well, I want to be mindful of the feelings of the family. I'm just asking a one-time-only photocopying opportunity, and then we will never bother you again. And
well, what do you do with the copies after you're done... doing whatever you do with them?
We will keep them under lock and key. We will not give them to any tabloid. They will be in a drawer in my office, and I will only use them as I need them.
Robert Greene, who does special effects makeup in Hollywood, is on with a very unusual request, and that is to see the Dale Earnhardt autopsy photo so that his job as a special effects makeup artist... he can be more realistic with the makeup that he apparently applies to actors and actresses. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Getting back to you, Bob, what do you say to the fans and the family who don't want you to have these pictures?
Phil, I would just reiterate, I will be respectful of them. I will not do anything with them. Just I'll look at them and then make copies of them. Because I sort of collect this sort of thing, and
all right. So, are you collecting?
No, I'm not collecting. What I'm doing is I'm looking at it, and because it is fascinating if you think about it. But I'm not. I don't want
to. A lot of what you're saying to me, man, doesn't sound like you care anything about a profession. You have some sort of ghoulish interest in seeing these photos.
No. I'm just saying that I do collect them. I'm just begging the Earnhardt family, release the photos for the good of the future of motion pictures. That's really what I'm saying. For the good of the future of film business and realistic special effects, I could have had a job on the new Planet of the Apes film. But they looked at my reel, and it blew. And the reason why is I didn't have good...
You didn't have good crash photos.
Yeah.
What possible good would a realistic crash photo... crash victim face do when you're going after the special effects job on Planet of the Apes?
Well, I mean, it just shows what I can do, that's all. It's got nothing...
Yeah, and a crash victim and an ape, they don't look the same.
No, they don't. But I will say this, Mr. Earnhardt would be lending his services posthumously to reinvigorating my career, and in the process to reinvigorating the film career. The film business and the careers of a lot of makeup guys.
All right, well, hold on for a minute there, because we got Robert Greene on the line. He's a makeup, special effects makeup artist who hasn't been working a lot lately, and he'd like the Earnhardt autopsy photos so that he can know how to make a realistic-looking crash victim for the movies. And it's like, I said, what about the family? And he said to me, well, he'd be respectful of it. He'd put it in a drawer in his desk. I don't know that the guy, quite gets what's going on here. 1-800-449-8686, but it's a big controversy whether or not these autopsy photos ought to be released. This is the Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. You say you don't want, I'm with Bob Green, who's a special effects makeup artist who would like access to the Dale Earnhardt autopsy photos, the race car driver who died at the Daytona 500, so that you could see what a realistic crash victim looks like.
And so I could see what a famous crash victim looks like, Phil. And
all right, well, we're having a few questions about that, the difference between what a famous crash victim looks like and an unfamous crash victim.
Unless we get realistic photographs of famous people, how they look after accidents, how they look at just walking around. As I said, I had a horrible experience with one of the Olsen twins when I made her look like a vampire.
And she was playing what?
I'm sorry?
And what was she playing? You made her look like a vampire. What was she supposed to be playing?
She was going out on a picnic or something. She would just look normal. Because I was thrown off. See what I'm saying?
You were thrown off.
Yes, sir. And I think the access we can have to some of these realistic photos would be very helpful.
1-800-449-8686. Jeff, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
As I said before, I have a problem with this. I've been a fireman for 13 years in the past, and whether they're famous or not, somebody is in a fatal accident, will receive traumatic injuries. They can be done computerized, if, for that matter, to put it onto a famous person's face. As far as one of the twins looking
at... Wait. I'm not telling you how to be a fireman. Don't tell me how to be a makeup artist, okay? Got to have the real deal. As I said before, I got one of the Olsen twins looking like it's Dawn of the Dead, and she was doing like a hot chocolate commercial.
Can you walk down the street and look at a 10 or 12-year-old girl and see what they look like normally?
Yes, I could, but that's not a famous person, is it? I need to find a famous 12-year-old kid who looks normal.
So are you going to make one of the twins look like somebody else other than themselves, famous?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And you have to understand the business that I'm in. See, you're a fireman. You know all about that business. I'm a makeup artist. I got to have what a famous person looks like when he gets in a car crash.
Wait a minute. I'm having a hard time understanding. One of the Olsen twins looked like she was a vampire from Dawn of the Dead, and she was drinking a hot chocolate?
Yeah, because I was thrown off. And I think it's this kind of selfishness.
Selfishness from who? From the Earnhardt family?
From the medical examiners. Not letting me get at least a peek. And that's all I'm trying to say there, Jeff. I'm sure you're a fine fireman.
Why didn't you make one Olsen twin look like the other twin?
Huh?
Well, if you're making up both girls together, why didn't you just make them look the same?
The director asked me that when he was firing me, and all I could say was, if I made them both look the same, what do you, make them both look like zombies?
Jesus, no, you don't make them both look like zombies. You make one look like the other normal one.
In retrospect, I could have done that. I had a lot of options. You know, Mr. Henry, being in my business...
Oh, come on. You need to make a kid look normal. You look at one person, looks like the other one. And then, you know, this whole thing that you needed, that you made an Olsen twin look like a zombie, and so you need to... I don't understand. I don't get that. How do you make a famous person look like a zombie? Okay, did you have another zombie face?
I don't understand.
How did you make that one Olsen twin look like a zombie? Did you have, let's say, I don't know, the chick from Full House look like a zombie?
Yeah. No, I used the Phillips kid, the one who had the drug problem.
Okay.
I don't know what you mean.
Never mind. 1-800-441.
Phil, what I'm saying is I need inspiration to create. I'm an artist. I could really use the Dale Earnhardt pics to make Macaulay Culkin look like he had a few drinks and wrapped himself around a tree for his next movie. But I won't be able to do that.
1-800-449-8686. Here is Rod on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Phil, this is Rod from Greensboro, North Carolina.
Yes, sir.
I am appalled at this Mr. Green. Absolutely appalled. I think what he's asking for is self-ingratiating. He said two operative words. One, before the break, it would enhance his career.
That's
two,
correct.
After the break, he's talking about some director firing him. The guy ought to be fired.
Why?
Without appeal.
No, wait a minute. You know anything about... you sound like you're in the radio business. Is that right?
No, I'm not in the radio business.
Well, what business are you in?
It's actually, it's none of your business.
Oh, I see. So you're telling me how to be a special effects makeup guy. I did special effects makeup for Full House, for Newhart, for the Danny Thomas Show. Okay, I know how to make people look like they've been in automobile accidents.
Well, then why don't you use your years of expertise and forget looking for the Dale Earnhardt?
Because this is a new time. People don't look the way they did back then. The auto accidents today are all different.
I'm not going to argue.
I made Alice look like a divorced mother. Huh?
But what you're asking for is appalling.
Wait a minute. I want to ask a question. You made Alice look like a divorced mother.
That's correct. In other words, like she was in an automobile accident. Okay? So you need to understand, Rod, that's how the business works.
What do you mean, like she was in an automobile accident? I thought you had to have a famous person in an automobile accident to make up a famous person look like an automobile accident.
It was Linda Lavin. She wasn't famous. Nobody knows who she was when the show was a hit.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Donna on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Yes, hello.
I did special effects for Family Matters. I made that Urkel kid look like he did.
Go ahead, Donna.
Yes, hi. Am I speaking with Bob?
Bob, this is for you.
Bob, yeah, this is Robert
Bob,
Green.
Bob, you're telling us, the people who are listening to this, that you are a makeup artist. The word
special
artist
special
denotes
effects.
That you need to have
special
originality,
special
ingenuity,
effects.
And
special
imagination.
Effects. Special effects artist.
Yeah, artist. Artist means you are to be number one creative.
Oh, but Donna, you don't understand my business. First of all,
yes, I do understand your business.
How do you know?
Danny Thomas Show was in black and white, and who needed a makeup artist? Did you apply their makeup on? I don't know where you're coming from.
I'm saying on the Danny Thomas Show, if anybody needed to be made up as if they'd been in an automobile accident, I was there.
The Danny Thomas Show was a sitcom. The Danny Thomas Show didn't depict violence. And if you're trying to get a job...
What if they had an episode where Danny went through a windshield or something like that?
Good God, why would they do that?
I can't even believe this.
Why would they...
talk like this. You are... Let's get back to the basic point. You are an artist. An artist...
Mr. James Dean's
what
photos.
What he depicts.
I had the photos from the James Dean crash, but they got dog-eared. I need a new set. What's wrong with that?
Then you know what you can do? You can go to any police station. Just say, you know, you're a makeup artist and you want to look at crash victims. Because
right.
The crash victim was Dale Earnhardt. With the impact that he hit the car at, I doubt if he looks like Dale Earnhardt. And you can go
to a lot
of websites. Show grotesque pictures available to you. No, you are insane.
No, ma'am.
You can't even talk like this.
No, ma'am,
nothing.
I can't do it because they're not famous. I need a famous guy that's been in a wreck.
Then that's where you use your keyword, your tag word is artist, and you put scratches on their face or their...
What's the difference? I want to ask a question. What's the difference between a famous person that's been in a wreck and a guy that nobody knows?
You're probably unrecognizable at that point.
No, but there's a little, even though they may be unrecognizable, there's like the eye may be winking, there's a little bit of a smile. The famous people...
Oh, come on!
A
little bit of a...
They know they're going to be photographed.
Even when they're dead?
Yes, even in death. And a lot of famous people go out with a nice smile, even though the rest of them, you don't know which is where the head goes and where the arms are. You know,
that's
you people,
because some people, you know, some accidents, you're down to a bloody pulp. Why do you need...
Ma'am, with all due respect, you go back to painting the clay flower pots on the weekend and let me do what I do, okay?
What do you mean clay flower pots? No,
well,
I don't...
aren't you doing those seascapes for the Laguna Beach? Do you not understand what an artist means? I need inspiration.
An artist means.
I need dead people.
A creator. An artist is a creator.
I got an idea for you, Bob. How about you let your career sink even further, then you can jump off of a building and kill yourself, and then you'll have some nice photos.
Well, that wouldn't work, because then I'd be dead.
Oh, well, geez, I'm sorry about that.
And you know what? Another thing is, why can't you, like, in the Wax Museum, they have the figures of famous people.
Well,
I don't even know why you need actual pictures of autopsies.
That's great.
All right, ma'am. Thank you very much for trying to help. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Why do they want the autopsy photos anyway? I'm not sure I understand the fascination. The Orlando Sentinel wanting to procure these because I think the reason was given that, well, if we can see the photo, then it's public information in terms of what can cause head injury, and then everybody gets an opportunity to weigh in on how to prevent it if we can see these pictures. And, you know, the 911 call, 911 calls that they used to air from the sheriff's department? You don't hear a lot of those anymore, do you? Didn't somebody file a lawsuit? Like, look, you know, if I am in the middle of a, if I'm having a problem here and I may be a little emotional, why should the whole world hear me going ape crap 48 hours later? Under Florida law, I'm told autopsy photos are public record. Well, if that's the case, then why are they holding them back? Because the family's freaking out. Well, good for the family. Let them freak. They have a right to freak out. Hey, you know something? The American Pilots Association, or whatever organization it is that oversees and is the aegis for professional pilots, professional commercial pilots in this country, sued not to have black box recordings released. Now, do you recall a time when black box recordings were being released? They don't do it anymore. Have you heard one lately? You want to know why? Because these pilots said, we don't want to sit here and listen to our colleagues and friends in their death throes, thank you very much. And if that's the case, we sure as hell don't want some guy with his finger in his nose sucking on an ice cream cone sitting somewhere in a car listening to it. They have no right to hear these people, men and women, in the last moments of their lives in sheer terror. The public has no right to hear that. Look, at you guys, just be happy with the rights you got. You understand? Be happy with the right to get out of bed in the morning, put one foot in front of the other, go smoke a cigarette, have a beer, scream and yell on a, whatever the hell you want to do, okay? Be happy with those rights. You got no right to see anything or do anything or smell anything or crap anything beyond that. Actually, you probably have a right to crap just about anything. And be happy with that because that's an unlimited right. You can have any kind of a bowel movement you want. Oh, did they air the William Shatner calling about his drowned wife and the Drew Barrymore calling when her house fire? Yeah, what is that about? Remember the old panicked call? Just keep that stuff and see. It's got to be public record because we want to be able to know. You can subpoena if you'd like and hear it if there is a compelling reason to hear it. If there's a compelling legal reason to hear Drew Barrymore calling to talk about the house fire, or a few years ago I heard Gloria Estefan, her and her husband were out on the ocean off of South Beach. Apparently there was a guy on a jet ski. You know, there's some compelling legal reason to hear that, then okay. Well, what's the reason that I hear William Shatner in a moment of despair and fear calling 911 to talk about his wife at the bottom of a pool? Why do we need to hear that other than to say, hey, look, it's James T. Kirk freaking out. Spock's in the bottom of the pool. Is there some reason we got to hear that? It's my family, if it's my kid, if it's my wife, if it's my friend, I'll fight to the death to keep some creep at a newspaper or from some anonymous slob sticking his nose into that, okay? You call the police for a reason, for protection. You call them for a reason, for some kind of a service. You don't call them so you can be the fodder for somebody's Friday night circle jerk. So guess what? You lose, man. Go get your kicks someplace else. Look, these photos are gonna tune up sooner or later someplace else. But this whole idea that we got to write, where does this come from? Other than from a voyeurism, other than from some degenerative voyeuristic impulse. Well, you know, Phil, you're talking now like you're some kind of a social dictator. You're talking like some kind of a papa bear. That's right. That's what we need. You got it. That's exactly how I'm talking. Well, what gives you the right to say that? What gives me the right? I'm now the dictator. That's what gives me the right. What do you think of that? Take your lawsuit. Take your court order. Take your injunction. Take whatever the hell it is you had your attorney file and cram it deep and wide, up left, sideways up left, as the Swede would say. Because we're not interested in what your rights are. Like I said, you got the right to remain freaking silent. How about that? Take that one. God, the Dale Earnhardt autopsy photos. don't you realize that you're all going to be dead soon enough? You're all going to be worm food soon enough. What is it, man? You got such an interest in death. You have such a fear of death that you want to absorb every aspect of it. You want to see what it looks like. You want to smell what it smells like. You got to feel it and touch it and suck on it. You slow down when you see some guy at the side of the road, man. You see some accident. You got to slow down. Why? Because everybody has a compelling interest in mortality and death. Everybody wants to know what it looks like. What everybody wants to be there. They want to be there and not. They want to live, but they want to know. Because we're all headed in that direction. Doesn't make any difference who you are, what you are. We're all going to die. Everybody got to die sometime, like the man said. So what makes you think looking at Dale Earnhardt's autopsy photo is going to make you any more prepared for it? I think it's going to be like that Robert Redford Twilight Zone, you know. You just kind of reach out, and then you're dead, and then you see your body lying there. That's about what it's going to be, okay? There's no autopsy photo I've ever seen that prepares you for that. It ain't going to be like in Sixth Sense, and it's not going to be some American Werewolf in London deal. You got sucked on by a werewolf, and you're walking around with half your face falling off. You know what? You remember, did you see that flick? What in the hell? The morbid curiosity with these photos is because people want to know about death. They want to know what it's going to be like. You don't get to know. You don't get to know until you croak. You'll never find out until you die. There will be no lifting of the veil between life and death. There's not going to be some hint. You can't read a book. Give me the white light. What does that mean, going to the white? What if you croak and there ain't no white light? Huh? Who are you going to sue then? Well, I know that when you die, there's a white light. Bullcrap! How do you know? And when you croak off and there ain't no white light, now what lawyer are you going to hire? Thank you. I'm Phil Hendry, and this is One Man's Bullcrap. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show. Just won a bet from my producer, Mike Schaefer, who told me that Robert Plant was 18 when the band Led Zeppelin first hit the States. And you couldn't be more wrong. You couldn't be more wrong. Thank you very much. All right, anyway, we have a letter here that we'd like to read to you, and then we'd also like to make a couple of points about Maria, my wife, who actually has had some unique experiences with regard to music, and then the film Pollock, which I saw last week. You got to see this movie. Go see it. Go watch Ed Harris, Marcia Gay Harden. Go watch a couple of great actors. Go watch a great story. Go watch a great film. Go watch a story about a great artist, tortured though he may have been, Jackson Pollock. And if you don't think you've seen this man's work, you've seen it everywhere. This is how great this guy's stuff was, that it is now used as the basis for wallpaper and backgrounds and backdrops, the style that he created and invented. This movie that I know you've heard of because Ed Harris got nominated for Best Actor, you probably never even heard of Jackson Pollock. Go see this flick, find out about this cat, and then go see, I think they're having an exhibit of his work at the L.A. County Museum of Art. Anyway, here's a letter from Donna Gleaver of Bangor, Maine. Dear Phil, it's a letter on military protocol, and it says, Phil, someone picked up on something very funny this morning. CNN showed George W. Bush leaving his presidential helicopter. The Marine at the front step saluted. George W. Bush returned the salute, and as the president walked away, the Marine executed a right face to stand facing the president's back, something that was missing in 8 years of the Clinton presidency. You see, Phil, the traditional Marine Corps mark of respect is rendered to the new president. It goes back to the days in the rigging when the Marine orderly to the ship's captain always faced him, no matter his direction of movement, to be ready to receive an order. She writes, who says an enlisted man can't hold back when they don't respect someone? And for 8 years, they did. The only problem was Clinton didn't know that he was being snubbed. Sincerely, Donna Gleaver, Bangor, Maine. Well, Donna, you're absolutely wrong about that. That's not what Marines do. They do not face the back of the president or wherever he's walking. So you're full of crap, and your letter is stupid. Thank you. Yeah. You're wrong, and you think you know, but you don't. You don't know anything. I don't care. She says her husband was in the military for 30 years. So what? What's that got to do with it? You're wrong. Thanks for your dumb letter. All right, now, here's another interesting item. I was driving along one fine day last week, and my wife says to me these words. You know, the Carpenters, when they were in concert, used backup singers because they multi-tracked in the studio. I said, how do you know that? She says, because when I saw them in concert, they would explain, we multi-track in the studio, but since we can't do it here, here are our background singers, and they would introduce one at a time 8 background singers. And I looked at her, and I said, geez, you saw the Carpenters in concert. She says, yeah, and I saw Anne Murray and John Denver. I said, do you know that I don't know a human being alive that's seen those three people? I don't know one human being that's seen the Carpenters, Anne Murray, and John Denver. And I said, that's, you've had an experience, and if you think about it, you've had an experience damn few people have had. And I'm not putting it down either. I'm sorry I didn't see John Denver in concert. Because you want to know something? When he died, they did a retrospective on him on PBS. He was pretty good. He wasn't a bad guy. Sang real good. Nice, happy songs. I'm sorry I didn't see that. But no, you think you catch me at a John Denver concert those days, I would never go to one. Now, here's the other. Anne Murray. I know a lot. I know that, Mark, you know what I'm talking about. Anne Murray, I don't even know what she did. Snowbird. You remember that song, Snowbird? And Danny's song. And my wife went to see him when she was in high school at the Universal, no, the Greek Theater. And she was laughing. I said, where the hell did you see Anne Murray? Greek Theater. Third row center. And then finally topped off the Carpenters. She went and saw that. I said, honey, do you know that you've had an experience that no one, it's like, I don't know. There's seeing the Carpenters, John Denver, and Anne Murray. There is what happened to that guy in Arizona when the spaceship sucked him up. There's the Bermuda Triangle, and there's that. You want to go on Art Bell. So I saw Art this week, and I said, Art, you got to interview my wife. And why is that, Phil? Because she's seen the Carpenters in concert. Holy Jesus. So he gave me his home phone number. It's going to be fantastic. Who's ever done that? Well, anyway. And the only other thing that I wanted to mention to you guys is that I'm down to 250 pounds from 256. Another milestone has been reached, and I did it all on Weight Watchers and the Exercycle. I got to tell you something. I've had people pitching me all kinds of diet programs. But this Weight Watchers deal, am I getting paid to mention this, by the way? No. Did I get paid to do the little plug for Shutters on the Beach? No. I do these things because I believe, good stuff happens to me, so I mention this stuff. And this Weight Watchers, man, now, I made myself, we barbecued some London broil last night. I went out, Maria marinated it in burgundy wine with a little bit of garlic. Marinated it for about 45 minutes. I went out, I threw that on the grill for probably 20 minutes. Came back, sliced that baby up like roast beef, tender as a mother's heart, had some vegetables with it, had a salad, and then this morning I made a beautiful London broil sandwich for myself to bring to work. Did I remember to bring it? Of course not. I had a Tiger's Milk bar for lunch. Am I hungry right now? Yes. Will I go home and eat the whole freaking refrigerator? Maybe. I need more points, man. But the fact of the matter remains, I couldn't endorse it more heartily. And I ain't been to the meeting, and I haven't gotten weighed in, and I haven't sat and listened to the lecture. I just got a hold of the Weight Watchers point thing. And I do those points, and then I get on the bike every day 40 minutes a day, man. I'm up 16 pounds in 3 weeks. I feel fine. I feel great. I'm not weak. I'm not hungry. This is the way, and I tried the Atkins diet, and you have to ask yourself, after 3 months with no bowel movement, you said, you know, is this the right thing for me? How you doing, Craig? Because I know you're eating nothing but protein. Go ahead, be honest with me. Have you even been concerned with walking into a toilet for the last week? He says, no, he hasn't. Okay, thank you. That means you can't, you know, after a week, honey, how's that Atkins? I've lost 5 pounds, but I put it all back on because I haven't sat down on a toilet to actually, you know, it's impossible. Eat all the cheese you want. What is that? So I got rid of that, and I went on the Weight Watchers. I'm eating salads, eating the whole thing. 250 pounds. Next week, when I dip below 250, then I got to go on a new point schedule. Because below 250, then you get less points. The skinnier you get, the less food they let you eat. The fatter you are, the more food they let you eat, which makes a whole lot of sense. So you're fat, you eat a lot of food, you stay fat. Well, no. Well, never mind. It works. So it looks like I'll be taking it. Anybody want any pants? I've got some pants that you can have if you'd like. They're 43-inch waist. And I use that special expando thing, you know, the thing on a spring man that you push it out and it makes your pants fatter? Yeah, I got that.
If you're in a workplace or if you're in anybody's home and they walk up to you, shove your face into their... You know, it sounds funny, okay? I'll give you that. But do you think you are supposed to stand there and take it when some guy shoves his ass up into your face and farts?
You know, you got to pick the moment. It's not like he's out on the street and somebody grabbed him from behind a building, threw him down, dropped his drawers, and pooped in his face. Okay, it's not even close to the same
thing. It's almost like that.
Well,
sir,
I would say that I was blindsided by it. I had no idea that night someone would sit on my face and cheese on it.
Well, I don't doubt that, but you also know that you were amongst friends, you were partying around, having
right.
a good time,
right.
and this guy cuts the cheese,
right.
and all of a sudden you're going to sue him for how much?
We are looking for the high six figures, somewhere in the neighborhood of
$700,000. Oh, yeah, well, you know, that's worth it, I would imagine. And if your wife's not willing to have sex with you or relations with you because of this, then you got a pretty shallow wife. Check into that. You might want to get rid of her, too.
What about the fact that I'm losing my eyebrow here?
Your eyebrow from a fart.
Yes, sir.
Oh, my God. Geez, I hope you're all right.
Well, you know, your name's Ron, right? I can tell you, Ron, I realize it seems frivolous to you, but in the court of public opinion and in the United States...
From the point of a lawyer, you'll sue for anything, buddy.
Sir, I thank God we live in a country where a man is not reduced to the humiliation of having someone bust the butt on him. And he can't do anything about it.
Oh, come on, man. You know what?
Well, you can.
You know what, Harvey? You're a lawyer. You ought to know better. Judge is going to toss this out.
I don't think so.
I'll bet you money. I got $1,000 that says no judge will hear this.
You're on.
I'm on?
You bet.
Okay. You got it. I got your number. You got mine. Good luck, guys.
I just don't want a man bust ass on me.
I got that, Mr. Bozell. Thank you very much. Ron, thank you for your call.
You bet.
That's the easiest $1,000 I ever made. 1-800-449... What?
I just spoke to the judge. He's hearing the case. He's setting it for trial in June. Ha ha ha!
You. Bill Henry.
Comes my heart.